Welcome to Better Together, brought to you by the Educational Services Commission of New Jersey. I'm your host, David Sandler, the Coordinator of Communications for the Commission, coming to you from our Piscataway campus in central New Jersey. Our goal on Better Together is to raise awareness about how shared services participation with the Commission benefits both students and taxpayers in New Jersey. Today we are focusing on the Commission's integration of Now Robots, spelled N-A-O, into the curriculum of several classes for students with special needs. The Now Robot was developed by the Aldebaran Robotics firm, which is based in Paris. Now Robots are 23 inches tall. They weigh about 9.5 pounds. They have two eyes, which consists of two high-definition cameras, a mouth, which includes four directional microphones and loudspeakers, and many other features, which then allows the robot to be programmed so it can talk, hear, walk, identify objects, help students with homework, sing and dance, and many other functions. I have some great guests with me today to share their insights on the impact of this exciting initiative, including Dr. Scott Taylor, the superintendent of the Highland Park School District and a member of the ESCNJ's Board of Directors. Dr. Taylor also serves as a member of the board's executive committee. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you.
Mr. Gary Molinar, the Commission's Assistant Superintendent for Learning and Educational Services. Mr. Molinar is also the immediate past president of the New Jersey Association of Pupil Services. Welcome, Gary.
Nice to be here.
And Ms. Sandy Giardino is the principal of the Bright Beginnings Learning Center. Ms. Giardino was part of the BBLC team that received an Innovations in Special Education Award from the New Jersey School Boards Association and the Association of Schools and Agencies for the Handicapped. Welcome, Sandy.
Good to be here.
Ms. Laura Cagle, a teacher at Newview Academy. Ms. Cagle was a recent recipient of the Hybrid Learning Institute's Legend Award for her contributions in the field of personalized student learning. Welcome, Laura.
Pleasure to be here.
We also have Ms. Naomi Glassman, a teacher at Bright Beginnings Learning Center. Ms. Glassman was also a key member of the school's Coding and Robotics Club, which won that Innovations in Special Education Award and was one of only 7 programs statewide to receive that award. Congratulations on that and welcome.
Thank you.
Gary, I may have a few years on you, but I don't think either of us had much exposure to robots as a teaching tool when we were in school. So I'm curious, how did the Now Robots first come to your attention?
Well, that's a great question. It's an interesting story. It didn't start with the Now. It started with other ways to introduce students to coding, and that started at Bright Beginnings Learning Center with the efforts of Ms. Kate Johnson, who was a teacher at the time, and Naomi Glassman. They developed a nice coding club. Every Friday afternoon they have clubs at the school, and one of the clubs being coding. We took that presentation down to TEXPO, NJASA's TEXPO. It's every January down in Atlantic City, all the latest and greatest in technology in education. Naomi and Kate presented on the robotics that they're using to introduce coding to their students, and one of the attendees came up after the program and said, "Oh, those are really cool little robots that you have. However, have you seen this robot before?" And it's the Now. We hadn't. Our superintendent was in attendance, as well as our business administrator. They saw the value of it and brought it to the board. The board saw the instructional value of the Now robot, and we were able to purchase them. And it's been, well, we were just talking about how long it's been. It feels like we've been working with the Nows for quite some time. However, it's only been about a year and a half, coming up into 2 years. We also partnered with another member of our board and a close colleague, Dr. Howard Lerner, up at Bergen County Special Services. They've been using the Now robots with their special education student population to great effect. We're able to piggyback on what they were doing and bring it here to the Ed Services Commission of New Jersey. So it's been an interesting road, and the Now, I think, has been really quite exciting.
So it started with straight coding, and maybe just define what computer coding is for those who may not be that clear on what that term means.
Well, it's basically telling a robot or a computer what to do. It's a series of steps and sequencing. It could be directional. It could be turn right and say hello. In fact, we just finished a robotics addendum to our technology curriculum. And the interesting thing is we introduce coding to students without computers and without robots. We do it with cards and little pieces that we can move around a board. So coding can be that simple too, of course, up to and including what we have now with the Now robot.
It's magical when people look at a computer screen and they see all this stuff, but there is actually a coding, a language that someone had to do to get all that up there. It doesn't just appear. So the robot has been a great tool for that. Scott, I'm wondering, what were your thoughts when the proposal to purchase the robots was brought before the board of directors?
Well, if you looked around the board table, you probably noticed my eyes were locked. I was very excited. I think what really engaged me was, first of all, the wonderful visuals that the presenters provided the board of kids actually in the middle of the floor interacting with these robots, watching them code. I mean, the idea I came away with was, this isn't a passive learning experience. This is an active learning experience. I mean, that's what I'm all about, and that's what really effective educators are all about, you know, making sure that kids are at the center of the action. That's what constructivism is, right? Building knowledge. And to have our kids, who tend to bring some of the more challenging behavioral issues and learning issues to the table, be so wrapped into this wonderful experience, just really made me realize that these robots can be used for a whole lot more than not just a general education classroom, of which I'm more accustomed to be a part of, but the special education classroom, and also to take these kids to a whole other level of learning engagement that I frankly was astounded to see. And so I have to thank the presenters who did come to that board meeting. They did a wonderful job really helping us visualize, be part of what the kids were experiencing.
So from the, I believe it was a PowerPoint or a video they showed, you could see the engagement of the students, and that's kind of what...
And really, frankly, the engagement of the adults, there were about 30 of us around the table with the robots that the presenters brought to the meeting, was surprising as well. I mean, some of us are not digital natives. You know, we didn't grow up with technology, so to see everybody just all in really made a big difference, I think, in the mindset, I think, of everybody around that table. There were some people who I think finally saw the technology. It really can add a lot of value to a learning experience.
Thank you. And I believe the board was all in. I believe it was supported unanimously by the board to move forward with this. Gary, I'm wondering, once that happened, what was the process for identifying which staff members you would ask to be part of this?
That's interesting, because we of course looked to Naomi and Kate, since they were the ones to create the coding club at Bright Beginnings Learning Center, and we're working with their students on coding already. Then we again, with Kate and Naomi's suggestion, we brought in our New View Academies. Those are our programs for students with psychiatric involvement, and these students are working at or close to grade level. So the idea being that the students at New View would work to program or code the Now robot to interact with the students at Bright Beginnings Learning Center. So we were able to do that, and that's how we identified an initial cadre or core group of teachers to be trained. The training was quite intense. It was 5 full days of professional development to learn all about the robot, but more importantly, to learn how to use that robot in an instructional setting.
I sat in a couple of days, an hour here, an hour there, to see that. And it's fairly complex. I mean, it looks simple on some levels, but it's also quite involved, and it was a lot to absorb. Laura, I'm wondering, what did you think when Gary approached you and said, we got these Now robots, and we want you to begin using them in the classroom?
When Mr. Molinar approached me about teaching robotics, any chance that I'm given to learn something new or to bring it into my classroom, I automatically say yes. A lot of times, not even thinking through or asking the question, well, what does this entail? And when I went to the training, I was very surprised, but I was very excited. I heard robots, I heard something new, and I could bring it to the classroom. I just said, I'm in. When's the training?
And when the training, which went, was 4 days, 5 days?
About 5 days.
And so did you feel pretty prepared after that, after those 5 days? Because it was an awful lot of information.
It was overwhelming for me. I'm the type of an active learner. I need to physically be working the robot, not just watching. And our presenter, our trainer, he was very good. And he gave us a lot of information, but a lot of times it was, watch me, I'm going to do this, and then you're going to, you know, take notes. Then figure it out. So I kind of fell behind because I wasn't actively doing it. And then when we had the chance to work with the robot, I struggled a bit. It was something that, it's not something for me I could do overnight. It took some practice to do it.
And I think that's not uncommon that many people, they need to do. They don't want to just hear. And that's sort of what the whole point of this initiative is, I believe. Naomi, how did you feel when you were asked to assume this responsibility?
I was very excited. I think that, I think I speak for all of our students, or the majority of them at least, that are inherently motivated by technology. And so the opportunity to bring something into my classroom that would make learning more engaging for these students, many of whom have a history where learning has not been engaging and has been very aversive for them and something they have not enjoyed. So the opportunity to bring something into my classroom that would allow them to fully participate in learning and to acquire skills that many people assumed were beyond them was something I was very excited by. I've always been careful of never introducing it as a toy. I think it's important they understand that the robots are tools that you use to learn. But still, if you have a robot walk into a classroom, you have a certain effect that opening, you know, a workbook is probably not going to have. So that was something that definitely helped engage my students. And it was a unique experience in that Laura mentioned the intensiveness of our training. And I think even afterwards, you're given all this information, and then the pressure is on to kind of, you know, perform. We have these robots, we have all this equipment, now we have to kind of make it do something. And it was neat because we were kind of learning simultaneously with the students. So at least I found that I had these gaps in my knowledge and the students had them as well. And we kind of continue to learn together and figure out new stuff together. And that has created an opportunity for collaboration that I'd not before experienced with my
Interesting.
Students.
There's training and then there's the implementation. And
I experienced the same thing. As I was teaching the students about how to use the robot, they in turn were teaching me. There were some things that the students would see that I didn't and said, Ms. Cagle, let's do it this way, or let's try this. So it was a collaboration between the students and myself, and I learned so much from them as well as they learned from me.
So Sandy, you've had a great deal of administrative experience. I'm curious, did you ever oversee a school that had robots being used to help special needs students?
No, not at all.
I've worked in
several public school districts in New Jersey. And these schools have always had robotics like clubs, but that's normally an extracurricular activity. And it's always something that the regular ed students do. And usually enter competitions.
And sometimes even the highest functioning ones, correct?
Exactly, right. Exactly. As far as special education goes, no, I have not experienced robotics embedded into curriculum anywhere except at the commission.
Hey, David, I have to interject. I'm hearing from Sandy, Naomi, Laura about the learning curve you all had to overcome, and I have to say that this is an example of continual learning at work. I mean, the fact that you're willing to take a risk and take the leap and do it with the kids is not something that I've seen. I mean, I've worked for 5 school districts. I don't think it's very rare that I've seen such a level of calculated, productive risk-taking. So I thank you for that.
It can be a little intimidating, but it's great that you jumped in with both feet. You know, the commission student population of the commission, as all of you know, ranges from students with autism spectrum disorders, multiple disabilities, to significant behavioral challenges. Is there a population that the now robots are best suited for, or can it go to any population?
I would say all of the above, any and all. Gen ed, special ed, doesn't matter. I think it's just a really engaging, unique tool with which to, and you know, to bring the students in. So
I also think it's important that you understand your students, that you know what their capabilities are and what they can do. It also comes down to carefully planning your lessons and your agenda to meet their needs. Like Mr. Molinar said, any of the students in our population can learn. It just, knowing their strengths and how to go about implementing it is what will make it ultimately work.
And the bulk of our students who are using it now, I believe, they are primarily have behavioral issues that they're dealing with. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes. And they're finding it very engaging, but it will begin to spread more and more as we move along. Naomi or Laura, both of you, so you got trained, and now it's time to implement, and you bring in the robot. And just how did the students react, you know, the first day you walked in, and what did you say? How did you introduce them? Did you give the robots a name, those sorts of things?
The robot, sadly, had been named prior with less than cool designations.
what was the name?
I've blocked them. It was like
Johnny Five.
Yeah, random things that people came up with during the training. But so this, they're talking earlier about the students that this program targets. And this is, I think, kind of an example of how it really can target any of those students, because the students I introduced the robot to the first day, half of them were not functionally verbal. A lot of them struggled with self-care skills. Their attending skills were poor. And one student in particular who really was not, he was capable of producing speech, but he rarely did without prompting. And I brought the robot in, he was interacting with it, he was talking to it. A lot of my students interacted with it more spontaneously than they would interact with another person, which is very interesting, because social skills is something that we really try to target. And I don't know if it was because they just didn't view it as intimidating as another person, but they made great eye contact, they were giving him high fives, shaking his hand, so there was a lot of really cool interactions that I saw with that group of students. And they do, that group did have, you know, behavioral challenges as well, but what I was most struck by was just the amount of language that just emerged, just having this new thing in the room that interacted with them.
And what was the age range of your students?
That year, I think between like 11 and 14.
Okay. Now, Laura, how about you? How was the first few days, first few weeks introducing the robots to the students?
When I introduced the robot to my students, they were very excited. They rushed towards the robot. They were beginning to just start asking all these questions to the robot, you know, Johnny Five, you know, can you blink or say hi? Or they soon learned that, you know, he just couldn't do it on command, that there would have to be coding involved. And they were a little taken aback, like, well, what does that mean? How do we do that? Why isn't this working right away? So that kind of was a jump off from where this whole robotics program was going to be in our classroom. And they soon learned that you just can't turn a robot on and start talking to it and have it do all these things, that there's coding involved, and that with our school, we do hybrid learning where there's stations, where there's a direct station where I'm teaching them the skill, collaboration station where they're working together, and an independent station where they're figuring out things on their own or calling the skills and practicing the skills. So that's where that came about. And through the hybrid learning and the robotics, they soon learned what it really takes to work with the robots.
There's a lot of logic learning going on there too, isn't there? I mean, it's like an unintended product, probably.
Yes.
Of the process.
We wanted it to have it student-led, but the teacher and having the teachers take a back seat, like just an overseeing role. But it in order to do that, you really have to carefully plan out what you want the students to learn and kind of guide them through the process.
Naomi, when we talk about the process or a typical lesson, maybe what would a typical lesson look like?
It depends on what group of students I do. The robotics club, generally we select students that are able to interact with computers, have emerging literacy skills. But both myself and a few other teachers in the secondary program do use the robot and other cross-curricular applications, and our classes are very different. So essentially, we try to target, you know, a single learning objective, and then we try to incorporate the robot into that somehow to make it more engaging. So really it would depend on if it's in the context of robotics club, or if it's in the context of like a social group. We've been thinking about involving the robot potentially in like integrated speech sessions this year. So there's really a lot of different roads that, a lot of different paths that that can take. The robot actually, so you have the coding aspect of programming using block-based programming, but once those programs are already in the robot, you can run them and you can have like a game or a group session occur with the robot as a tool. So there's, depending on the student population, maybe they're not coding the robot, maybe they're just utilizing the robot to practice social skills or play a game or something like that.
And is it usually a time limited sort of, or do you sort of see how it goes when you're doing this kind of a lesson or this kind of a teaching experience?
Yeah, I mean, we try to be flexible, and if we have a really engaging lesson and students are really learning and attending, then we might, if it's possible, extend it. Fortunately, our scheduling is generally pretty flexible. A lot of therapists and people that would be coming into the room have no problem pushing in, and if the student is engaged in doing something.
And could you just differentiate between what the coding club is and the way the coding, the robotics integration of the curriculum?
So the integration into the curriculum is something we've really tried to raise awareness of, I guess, and to try to show different populations, whether it be students with autism, students with multiple disabilities, at all age levels, basically what would this look like in your classroom? Because this is just part of kind of the umbrella of technological literacy that it's very important to educate your students in this world. So we've tried to show different examples of how different kinds of robots, different kinds of programs can be utilized in, as I said before, like cross-curricular applications. So in the context of a language lesson or a social studies lesson. So that's something, and Gary discussed the curriculum that Kate and I helped write over the summer, and that's essentially what we're trying to do, is give people ideas of what this would look like in your classroom. In terms of the robotics and coding club, that's something we started at the secondary program. So the students there are typically between the ages like 11 through 21. So I typically, we rotate every semester, and I have maybe 8, 9, 10 different kids from all different rooms. We meet once a week, and we work on like coding using block-based programming, the Now robot, a couple of the other robots we have. We also last year experimented successfully, I think, with like kind of a collaborative project where I had some of my students program the robot to read a book for Read Across America. And these were students that would not have been able to read themselves, but they were able to program the robot to read. And so the robot then went to the classrooms with students with multiple disabilities in the elementary building and read like a Dr. Seuss book to them. And so that was kind of almost like community-based interaction within the community of Bright Beginnings Learning Center here. So that was nice to see as well.
Yeah, I did get to see some of that. That was very, very interesting. Is it pretty much the same for you? How did it go in the classroom with your students?
Robotics in the classroom was a little different than Naomi's class. We kept to the hybrid model. We started with the direct station and the independent station, where in the direct station, I would work with a few students on working with the robot and showing them how to do the drag and drop coding. And the students started in the independent station were working on basic code. Another colleague of mine who is in the high school classes, he was doing higher level robotics. So he was having the picture recognition and different robotics. We soon added the collaboration station when we collaborated with those older students. The older students would come in and work with my students as sort of like a buddy or a peer mentor in the collaboration station. And soon it integrated into the direct station as well, where we would work on what we wanted my students to specifically learn. And then high school students would then kind of take over and teach them the robotics. We weren't sure what to expect when we first started it, but what ended up happening was something phenomenal. The kids were attentive. My students, who would have just wanted to sit and not even pay attention, was actively engaged. It gave the high school students an opportunity to give a presentation, to do public speaking. So what came out of that was, it was wonderful.
Scott, are you aware of any other districts that use robots for with special needs students?
I'm not aware of districts using NOW robots in particular to this extent, especially in the daily curriculum. As Sandy pointed out, often you find that these kinds of technology tools are used as part of extracurricular programming, and it's based on interest. So you get a very select group of kids. You're excluding some students who might not even realize how much fun they'd have or how interested they might be in coding. I mean, this whole project has a lot of post-secondary implications, not only for the kids here in the, at the commission, but also for other students who might find that coding becomes something that they want to pursue beyond schooling, you know, beyond the age of 21.
There's a real need for that.
Of course. So, no, I'm not seeing it used that in the capacity we're using it here, and I'm not seeing it nearly as prevalently used with as many students being touched like they are here at the commission. I think it's a model that those who are listening to our conversation should consider adopting. And I think the model here that they really need to take away is the idea that you could do it during the school day, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and no, there's no such thing as a disability or a challenge that can preempt somebody, a student, from coding.
Gary, can you see a time where perhaps coding would actually be a core curriculum kind of a thing that people, students need to learn?
Well, it's moving in that direction, and in the state of New Jersey, with our technology curriculum and 21st Century Life and Life and Careers, we talk about, you know, STEM and science, technology, engineering, math, and that's part of it. In our new science standards as well, the New Jersey Student Science Student Learning Standards for Science, there's an engineering component to that. So coding, robots, that it all fits within, you know, those particular standards, but it's across all of the standards because math and English language arts is involved as well.
Now, Sandy, and I this was your first time having robots in the building. It sounds like.
Yes.
So how did you determine how much time that should be allotted to that for your staff to be able to use them in the classroom?
Well, staff basically, they put their own schedules together. So it is really dependent, you know, it sort of depends on the teacher and what they want to do. There are certain classes that have technology group once a week in which they break out into small rotating stations, maybe two or three students at a time, and they focus on sequencing, following directions, and literacy. And again, as Naomi mentioned, sometimes it might even be a child just has requested, said, can we bring a robot out? And they're having a good day. And we say, yeah, sure, let's bring out a robot. So it can be something you earn. And if anybody knows anything about working with children with autism, they earn things. And this is something that I would say, hands down, is something that they definitely will. We used to say, what will a child walk on water for? And right. That would be the expression. What is motivates that child? Certainly the robots, now robots, certainly I'd walk on water to work with them because I hadn't had the experience. They're just great. What I think is particularly cool is how, you know, something like identifying Read Across America and identifying that and saying, hey, we can use the NOW robot with this. They can read to the students. That kind of thing, just sort of beginning to think, okay, it's not just 10 to 10:30 in technology group, but let's just look at everything we do at school and where can they jump in? Certainly the push will be to include them more and more in the curriculum in the classroom.
So we're headed into the second year with the NOW robot, and where would you say, how would you say it's evolved from those early stages to where we are now?
From my perspective, from a district level perspective, I see the faculty being, they're very well versed in coding, where when we first started talking about coding 3 years ago, it was just that. We were just kind of talking, oh, what is this? And we really didn't have the language per se. But now, year three, in year two with the robot, there's a comfort level, they're conversant with the terms and how to get students involved with coding. So that's really neat to see, because again, we're as we said before, we're not all digital natives. All right? Most mm-hmm. most of us are digital immigrants, and thus we do have a little bit of an accent in that regard when we're using the technology. So it's really great to see that accent kind of going away.
I know that when I walked into the coding club and I was watching the kids code now to do something, I was learning with them. I was absolutely learning with them. I was just watching and saying, okay, is that what you do next? Okay, is that what you do next? Because again, I had an experience with it. So I was right on their level, totally. So, which is really cool, you know, because we're all starting at square one.
And there's no real fear or intimidation really on the students' part. It's like Absolutely. They just want to jump in and have fun with it.
I think more so with kids than with adults. Right. I think adults are the ones that sometimes have the mm-hmm. the fear. The kids just go right, you know, to them it's just, there's no barriers whatsoever. They just right in there.
You know, and I know there's been several presentations. The New Jersey School Board Association, there was a presentation. Gary, you mentioned an organization earlier. How have, let's take the New Jersey School Board's presentation. How did you feel people reacted to this?
I think with the school boards, that was our first hands-on.
Oh, yeah, right. Thank you.
So rather than, just here's our PowerPoint or Prezi, you know, look how great it is.
Yeah, we tried essentially to, because initially when we started, when we did our first presentation, the Texpo, right? Mm-hmm. We really had just started utilizing the robots ourselves, so it was a PowerPoint, and we talked about some ideas. We brought a couple of robots, I think it's like props, but that was to show people what we were talking about. So we decided that we needed to kind of take the next step, and we essentially modeled the presentation after, in part after, like our robotics club. So we broke the audience into small groups, we had them rotate, we allowed them to actually engage in some of the skills we teach our students, and I think it was both a rewarding and humbling experience for them, because I think oftentimes people tend to look upon the population we work with as somehow lesser or not capable. But the fact that our students were able to grasp the same concepts that you as an adult might now be struggling with is very humbling, and it, I think, allows you to appreciate the diversity of the human mind. So I think that was probably the most memorable aspect of that, and any future presentations that we did on this topic, I think that's an essential component to include, is kind of that hands-on experience.
Yeah, that's a tremendous point, that it is hands-on. They're actually doing it, you're teaching them, and they had to actually do something, right?
I got to tell you, to this day, some board members talk about that presentation. It was probably one of the most, definitely most engaging, but impacting presentations that we had a chance to be involved with.
We also had we were looking at a professional development after, you know, after school. We have a certain amount of professional development that's required. You know, our teachers work so hard, and there's so many requirements from the state, you know, this and that, SGOs, and this. We have to do all sorts of trainings. And then we just said to other administrators, and I sat down and said, why don't we just have the robots? Let's just take a break, and let's have a staff for the part of the professional development just be the robots. And so we had Beat and Bop and, you know, all that, and Nail, and all those robots, and the staff just, we sort of showed them. And then it broke up, and teachers just started to play with it, just like the kids just started to play. And that was our staff development. But it was, they were, as just like everybody else, they were so engaged and they're having a blast, just this learning.
You know, both Laura and Naomi, you gave presentations to the board on the robotics initiative, and you only had about 15 minutes to do that. And there's an awful lot to cover in that. So how did you go about determining what you wanted to highlight?
Well, the highlight for my presentation, I didn't want to go over what Naomi and Kate had already done. Naomi and Kate had already used robots. They were higher level with the robotics than I was. So our focus was basically about collaboration. Collaboration not only between the students in the high school classes and my elementary class, but also from myself and administration. There were times, like I said earlier, with the training, I was overwhelmed. And at times I felt like, I don't know if I can do this. I just don't know. And the collaboration and the help that I got from my administration, from Mr. Molinar, as soon as I came up with fears and doubts, within minutes, he just said, we're going to see Naomi and Kate. I want you to see it. I want you to experience it. So I wanted to share that with the board. I mean, we know that children are so tech savvy, they get everything, but adults were not. Myself, I'm not at that level. So I wanted to show that, you know, it can be possible. You know, we can teach kids to do this, and as adults, we can learn things too, and that collaboration is key with anything. If you don't have that support, you can only, my belief is you can only go so far.
It's also a shared service that we could, if called upon, if another district was interested in getting started with this, probably something we could train or show another district how to go about doing this, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, we're always here to help our member districts and the districts throughout the state in new initiatives, building their capacity to bring a new way of instructing their students, especially our special education population. So, I mean, we do that often with other topics, especially behavior-related topics, and we send out our BCBAs, our board-certified behavior analysts, to work with districts to build their capacity to serve students with autism. So this could be another thing that we could bring out to our member districts.
He touched on this, Scott, briefly before in terms of your reaction, and that's one of the reasons we invited you to be on this podcast, was because it was clear that you kind of got it when it was going on. What was it that struck a chord for you that really made you feel this was a really worthwhile endeavor?
Well, again, the student-centered learning that was perceivably going on in the classroom, I think, really struck me in a positive way. And also, all of the peripheral learning I was thinking was happening at the same time the kids were, you know, concretely coding and making these robots go. I mentioned logic before. There's logic that goes into this. You know, coding's all about flow, right? One thing after the other. And, you know, it's really taxing cognition, and I think that's the second thing that really struck me.
The parents, I'm wondering, parents and case managers, other education professionals, Sandy, perhaps, have you had any reaction from case managers who may have seen the robots in action in school or parents?
I do know that the feedback has been very positive. In particular, when we did last May go down for the Innovations in Special Education Award for the Coding and the Robotics Club, two of our students were delegates to the affair, and their families were asked to join us at the presentation and for the luncheon and everything. And they were just smitten. It was just wonderful. And I think the best part, hands down, was when it was time to for each school district to come up and be presented their award. What would happen is the school district would be called for their, you know, special award and this and that, and an administrator went up to get the award. And then another district went by, and the administrator went up to get an award. But when it got to us, we asked our two students to go up and get the award. So here we have two students, and here they are getting up in front of a huge group of people, walking up and getting an award in a full house of people. And that's not something that you would think of in the capacity of these children. And they did a great job. They were awesome.
Having seen that, they just brought it up there and were very proud and just had a very confident, really seemed to enjoy, embrace the moment.
So. Yeah, I think sometimes, particularly with something like this, this conversation, it really makes me think of what the word disabled means. Because if you think about it, here I was learning with the kids when I went to robotics club. I was learning with kids. So is it really just that all of us have some things we're really good at and some things we're not so good at? It really makes you think about how we, you know, use that word.
Will students leave this program and be able to actually get some sort of employment in coding? Would that be a possibility?
That's what we're always shooting for, and I think if a student has an interest and he or she really wishes to pursue that, you know, post-graduation, yeah, I think this would be a great foundation. We've laid a great foundation for them to potentially do that upon leaving our school.
They will have had several years of exposure and doing hands-on. Well, I want to thank my guest, Scott Taylor, Gary Molinar, Sandy Giardino, Laura Cagle, and Naomi Glassman for their thoughtful insights on using the Now Robot as a teaching tool for students with special needs. I also invite our listeners to share any suggestions for future podcast topics by emailing me at dsandler@escnj.k12.nj.us. To learn more about Now Robots and ESCNJ's many shared services, please visit our website at www.escnj.k12.nj.us. On behalf of the Commission's Board of Directors and Administration, I'm David Sandler. I encourage you to listen to future podcasts to learn more about schools and state agencies utilizing shared services to function better together on behalf of New Jersey's students and taxpayers.